welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a terrific Tuesday down here in Florida. We are staying busy as always, and we actually had a significant amount of the orders packed up from yesterday, even though everybody was shut down, including the post office, but we got those over to the post office immediately this morning, so those went out first thing, and everybody's orders are still going out today as usual. So we're doing the best we can to get you your products, your supplements, and your packages as quickly as physically possible, and we appreciate the support from everyone. Also, too, if you guys already haven't noticed, we have another significant hurricane, it looks like, headed into Florida. So we're going to watch and see what happens with that. All my Floridian friends already know the drill on this. Most of them have already been prepped and stay prepped on a regular basis. So there's really no need to go out and scramble for things like water and batteries because you already have them on tap. But I do always recommend having all the vehicles filled up by the end, no later than the end of the week. And if you got extra gas cans, it's always good to have those, too, not just for your vehicles, but also, too, if you have any type of equipment, four-wheelers, side-by-sides, that may need fuel as well, or if you have to help somebody out, it's always good to have extra gas. So we'll be watching that and letting you know what actually happens down here throughout the week and weekend. And how are you doing today, Dan?
Oh, I'm doing great, Austin. I want everybody in Florida and the Southeast who are watching the storm or getting anxious about the storm, just remember this: greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Just remember that.
Yes.
Our God is capable. Remember now, the old German plaque that my grandmother made back in the 1800s, it said, Schwei Lebenstutzen brechen nie, Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie. And what that means, there's two fundamental pillars of life that never get broken, that you can rely on all of your life: prayer first and then work. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to start praying pretty quickly on the show here about the storm once we figure out what it wants to do. And also, we have to realize this is a HAARP-engineered storm, which means it's being used. They're using scalar waves and energy fields to manipulate this storm. But they forget that when we pray, we also release scalar waves. So, guys, that's why little things like these storms, I don't like what they do and the destruction they cause. Like I said, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And we need to also realize we need to have a preparatory mindset. I've talked to you guys about this repeatedly. You have to pray like it's all up to God, work like it's all up to you. We've already had 18 yards of sand delivered to the house here on the back property. We already dumped it by the road. We've already got a bunch of sandbags. I mean, we've got everything prepped out to do what we need to do to make sure that we don't have any flooding like we had back in 2004, or we'll do the best of our ability. And that's all you can do. But getting worried and upset and bent out of shape and screaming and yelling and hollering is simply not worth it. I know down in the Caribbean islands now, they've issued a state of emergency, Austin, and the government has now said that they're going to go into people's homes and seize all of their guns and all of their ammunition just in case the government needs it. They'll have it available to them on tap, and they're taking it away from the general population. This is the kind of junk. This is crazy stuff. Rodney just sent me this a few minutes ago. This is the kind of stuff in the Virgin Islands they're doing right now, because that's the type of tyranny they live under. This is something that we have to understand, that our Second Amendment affords us the ability not to do that. But remember what Obama did in his old vomit president that he had with his transgender wife and his gay Kenyan attitude. He basically signed all of those bills, those executive orders, having the ability to start seizing all of our stuff in the event of a major disaster, a major emergency. I personally think they're heading the storm towards Louisiana. I personally think they want to finish nailing the gas fields and the refineries, and they want to do as much havoc as they can into the petrochemical industry. That's how they seem to want to do it, because that's what they like to do. Now, if they decide to run it through Florida or whatever, then they're going to have to deal with a bunch of prayers from us and our show, so they're going to have to deal with all that. So, guys, here's the thing. I look at all of this stuff. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, period. That's how I look at it all, and I'm not going to walk in the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind, like it says in Timothy, and we're going to continue to walk in the glory of the Holy Spirit and God and Christ and Yeshua and Yahweh, and that's how we're going to do it. Now, I've got an article I want to read you. This is a very interesting letter that is attributed to Godfrey Higginbotham, Major General, United States Marine Corps, retired, but as a lot of these internet things go, you really don't know if this is truly something he wrote, but this is who they're saying it's from, and it's from a relatively reputable website, so it may be actually his quote or his letter. But I want to read you this and give you an idea of how I feel about Antifa, because I feel the same way about this communist group as the person who wrote this letter feels about it. It says, if you're being paid $25 an hour to show up to a rally to counter the other party using physical force and violence, you are not a counter-protester. You are a mercenary. There is no need for further debate on this. You were paid to attack someone you don't know for reasons that you couldn't care enough about to go there for free. You did your job and you collected your check and your reimbursement of expenses. You are a mercenary. You're not a patriot. You're not a social justice warrior. You're not a defender of freedom or liberty. You're not an upholder of the truth or justice. None of these things you claim to be. You're simply a mercenary. And mercenaries are not lawful combatants and deserve whatever comes their way at the hands of the people they are attacking. You have no First Amendment rights. You are a mercenary. It doesn't matter what side you are on. It doesn't matter what cause you're showing up to disrupt. If you can't express yourself peacefully through diplomatic means, then you better be prepared to meet your maker at the hands of someone who is only barely keeping their own violent tendencies at bay through massive exercise of self-control. This guy sounds like a Marine. I know it sounds romantic to attend these rallies and get crap started with the other side. And when you're young and passionate, it's really easy to get whipped up into a frenzy of raw emotions. There is a reason why young people are preferred when it comes to warfare. They are easy to manipulate and control and set off. But I'm telling you, all of this right now, you've got no idea what road you are starting down. Romance and idealism wears off really fast when you're laying in a pool of your own blood trying to stuff your intestines back into your torn abdomen. I've been lucky enough to go for 42 years without having to put the skills I learned in the Marines to use. I continue to train and keep those skills up to date because I see the madness that is happening from all over this country. I don't train to attack others like you. I train to defend others from you. I am not alone. There are hundreds of thousands of men and women in this country who have seen war and death and don't want to do it anymore. They want to live in peace. They want to forget the things they've had to do in the service of their country. They want to raise their kids and have family barbecues and build tree houses and soapbox derby cars and have tea parties. They don't want this stuff you're selling. If you have the extremist left and extremist right that are doing their best to get something started to force us into a civil war. Even in the 1860s, the violence between the North and the South was nowhere near what we're seeing today. Nowhere, not even close. And he's talking about pre-Civil War, not before the war started. And yet we still have a war of ideology that's consumed hundreds of thousands of lives in the Civil War. All of you young and naive kids on both sides of this equation, you think that having a civil war will advance your agenda or restore your vision of what you think America is? Just remember this. Those of us older generations aren't having any of this. And if you jump off, you better be prepared to deal with us, the older generation. We don't care what color you're wearing or what sign you're holding or if you come from us, our friends, our family, our coworkers, our neighbors. So remember that when we're thinking that this left or right or liberal conservative, communist or fascist, we are the variable you're not considering. This is the silent majority that you pretend that doesn't exist, military veterans who are really getting sick and tired of this stuff. Now, I edited a little bit of that because of language, but guys, he's absolutely right. You've got hundreds of thousands of military veterans, many of who have been damaged or basically put on a lifelong death sentence because of immunizations, but they're still healthy enough to carry a gun and carry a weapon, who have served to obey this, to defend this country against both enemies, foreign and domestic. And if you guys from Antifa, this communist group of mercenaries that are being paid by George Soros to go in and beat people up, and want to continue to do this, and you're going to provoke our country into some type of civil conflict because of your nonsense, I promise you, it's not going to end the way you think it will. It'll end the same way that the Soviet Union ended, or the Russia ended, the Tsar ended. It's going to be a disaster. A lot of blood on both sides. And guys, you're being manipulated by this communist Antifa. You're being manipulated by all of these people telling you what to do. We all just want to live in peace. We all just want to get along. We all want to just worship God the way we see the way that we should worship God. And we need to be left alone. Don't force us into a situation where we're in confrontation with you guys. Because guys, we have millions and millions and millions of guns in the United States right now, and it's not going to be pretty, especially for these snowflake communists, that the only time they ever have seen any action with anything, if this, like they're doing, like this guy says, they're being paid as a mercenary, and these guys are a bunch of hoodlums that are doing this. And I promise you, the vast majority of the kids in the United States that are thinking and talking about this kind of stuff have absolutely no idea what the reality of a true civil war would be in the U.S. What do you think, Austin?
You're pretty much spot on with that, man. There's no question about it that we definitely have a significant issue with this grow. I brought it up yesterday, and I brought it up last week. The problem is these guys are getting incredibly more aggressive and incredibly more brazen because the police are allowing them to expand what they're doing, and they're not having any type of consequences for this behavior. No civilized society should have individuals and groups that run around in massive terroristic gangs like Antifa that go and beat peaceful individuals up, like what happened on Sunday over there in California I talked about, where there were like 9 guys eating pizza for the Patriot prayer picnic, and they went over there 300 deep and basically started mobbing them out of there, so the police finally had to escort the Patriot picnic participants out of the entire area because they could not handle the situation. I don't think most of these guys understand this, as far as the Antifa members, what's going to happen when they actually meet force, because most of the individuals that they've encountered have either been other protesters or either have been pacifists that have been trying to allow this movement to fizzle down simply because of its own recklessness. And that's why we've even seen that a large amount of the mainstream media has even denied Antifa now. They've come, I mean, the Washington Post came out and said, these guys are acting like a terroristic organization. We're not basically going to sit here and condone their behavior anymore. They're completely out of control simply because the mainstream media is trying to do damage control because these guys are getting so out of line. So, yeah, the Marines are spot on. If this continues to escalate and they really want to continue to provoke us, that's where it's going to lead to. I really hope it doesn't escalate to that, because it's not going to be positive for anybody, and it's really only going to play into the globalist hands, because that's what they want. They want to divide and conquer us, but the problem is we have to have a line in the sand. At a certain point, are we going to continue to allow these guys to act with this type of behavior, with this type of malice, and with this type of aggression towards American citizens, and just sit back and not do anything about it? I don't like fighting, as far as I don't think it really usually solves anything unless it needs to be done. If it needs to be done, then we'll all be. Let's have make it happen. But the thing is, I don't think we're at that point yet. I really hope we don't reach that point. But the problem is, if these guys continue to escalate what they're doing and continue to grow these ridiculously ignorant groups for a fight they don't even know what they're doing, and that, he said it perfect, Dad. They're mercenaries. That's exactly what they're doing. They're getting paid to do this. There's only a small, small percentage of them, in my opinion, that actually have any type of understanding what they're supposedly fighting for and trying to get enough of them riled up to go do this. But as we've seen on the Craigslist ads and multiple documents that have been released now, they're paying these guys a substantial amount of money to go out and fight like this, because the truth is, most of the time when there's protesters, they're even protesting something they truly believe, they don't want to come out in ski mask and all black hoodies with 2x4s with nails in them in one hand and pepper spray in the other hand and bags of urine in their backpack to go throw at people. That is very, very, very aggressive behavior. Most individuals don't want to go that far. The only way a lot of people want to go that far is if they're being paid to do that, or if they're doing it and being told to do it from a higher up leadership. And that's what's going on with Antifa now. And we see this more and more and more as it starts to escalate, but I really hope these guys wise up, because as you said, this is not going to end well for them at all, especially with a lot of these retired military guys that defended this country from foreign domestic invaders, and foreign and domestic, and this is not something that we're going to continue to put up with for very long.
Well, no, it's not. The thing about it is this, guys. You know, you've got to understand something, that when you basically throw down on a group of people that are basically doing nothing but peacefully just having a meeting, it's not right. Now, we have a right to assemble in the United States, but here's the problem, and this is something we have to think about and think through this. If we just sit back and let Donald Trump hopefully do something, which God, I hope he does something. Please, Lord, let him do something. If he'll do something that's right, like get these whack bags like Kushner out of the White House, if he'll actually do something and start getting our rights reestablished properly that were given to us by God, and he can get to the point of doing that, then at that point, we don't need to have protests that incite the Antifa groups. Let me give you an example. Did it do any good for these guys, these 9 people having pizza, to get beat up? No. Did it do any good for those guys out there in California last week to get beat up? No. Did it do any good, what happened as far as that monument with the KKK? Absolutely not. The only way we're going to bring this thing into a giant fight is to confront these guys. And until they start going in and robbing us or coming into our homes or doing whatever they're going to do, from a social standpoint, the only fight that they're going to have is the fight that we allow them to give them. I remember years ago there was a huge dispute in our neighborhood over an easement issue. And I remember one of our neighbors, just the day that this big dispute arose, the neighbor just left. And so there was no fight for him, no argument for him. And finally it all kind of passed by and went over. Now I realize there comes a certain point in time when you can't do that. Guys, if we let this Antifa group go in and start rioting in cities, to riot in cities, not because they're trying to beat people up that are conservative, just because they want to riot in cities, at that point in time, the government will have no choice but to put these guys into a controlled environment, either through pepper spray or through rubber bullets or whatever they're going to do to control them. But we don't need to be in the middle of it, because our government right now is basically neglecting its responsibility to protect the citizens that have a right to free assembly. They're neglecting that. They're not doing it. In fact, they're allowing the Antifa group, as we saw up there in Virginia, they're allowing that group to come in and do whatever they want to do and act however they want to act, and absolutely have no recourse against them. The government, Austin, needs to come in with the National Guard when these guys show up and arrest every one of these lowlifes and put them in jail and not give them bond. If you start putting them all in jail and charging them with rioting and assault and everything else, and you start slapping them in jail for 4 or 5 years, they won't care they're getting paid $25 an hour. Nobody's going to sign up. Nobody's going to sign up. But when Soros or the boys go in and they bail these guys out and they basically keep pushing the agenda, this is what happens when you have trained, hired mercenaries to come in and start this nonsense. And what we've done with our kids in schools, we haven't trained them. Here's an article out of Breitbart. It says, back to school, students are primed for social and emotional learning. You know, we have to know what a transgender is. While failing in math and reading, and Harvard just came out with another study and said that people simply don't think. Kids don't think anymore. 37% of the U.S. 12th graders were prepared for college. 37% of seniors prepared for college in mathematics and reading in 2016. But many public school districts have become fixated on the latest progressive trend of social and emotional learning. There's little to boast about when it comes to the state of the U.S. education. As Breitbart News reported in April of 2016, it's abysmal. A recent report also found that U.S. high school students are earning more A's in the classroom, but declining scores in the SATs. In addition, the result of a 2015 trends in the International Math and Science Study and the Program in International Student Assessment found American students showing, at best, mediocre performance in math, science, and reading. I remember years ago, I had a kid who was going to go to college and play football, and I was basically helping him in a workout program, Austin and I both were, as far as getting him in shape for the college that he wanted to play football for. Finally, one day I was talking to him, and I was listening to how he spoke and how inarticulate he was. So I gave him a book. I felt led by the Holy Spirit to give him a book and say, read this for me. And he read, and I said, read the first paragraph. He was 19 years old, graduating out of high school. He could not read the paragraph. He was completely and totally functionally illiterate. This is what we're doing to kids going into school. And then what happens, they get into college, and they're still functionally illiterate in some cases. They go through school, they get passed with C's and D's, and they come out with a college diploma. And many of these people who come out with college diploma come out as educators, and they become teachers. I've seen it over and over and over. They can't think their way out of a wet paper sack with a doggone razor blade, but they're teaching our children. And they make sure they teach these kids the social and emotional learning. Years ago, I was on a cruise ship. And probably shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to. And it was in the Caribbean. And there was a woman there. She's a black lady, really, really nice, very well-educated lady. And she had just written a book. I believe it was called Life Through a Prism of Color. And she had a PhD in sociology or something like that. I can't remember anymore, but as far as education. And she was talking to me one day, we were talking to her, about, you know, the book that she had written and how being black had its certain problems because everybody saw life through a prism of color in the United States. And she started giving me all of these weird things that I completely disagreed with as far as what she was saying. And so we had this really in-depth educational talk about what she believed. Now, she had, if I remember right, she had a PhD in in sociology or something like that. And so it ended up being in a situation where she says, well, when's the last time that you had a black person over to your house for dinner? And I looked at her, I said, what the world does that have to do with anything? She goes, no, when's the last time that you did that? I said, last week. I said, my workout partner comes over and eats with me probably every single day after we work out at the house. She goes, oh, well, you're an exception to the rule. And I said, look, I said, here's the thing. Why do you have to be so racist? I said, why do you have to believe that everybody hates blacks? I said, this is not 1950. This is not 1914. This is not the Woodrow Wilson in the White House showing Ku Klux Klan movies. I said, we have, you know, have come a long ways. But it doesn't make any difference, Austin. They still want to see everything through a prism of color, which is the name of her book. And the problem was, we're trying not to do that anymore, but they keep telling us that we're doing it, so it's forcing everybody to take sides, and it's no good. Why don't we just see people for who they are and not what color their skin is? That's how I look at life, and that's what I've always tried to teach you kids, Austin. What do you think?
No, you are right, and that's what the media has done an incredibly good job at this from a negative standpoint at constantly using the race narrative in almost every single incident that happens and trying to make everything into a racial issue, even when a lot of times, 80 to 90% of the time, it has nothing to do with that at all, but they intentionally try and post stuff like that just to make sure that they continue to keep that ongoing. Also, too, this is something I wanted to bring up. This was a report now, if you wanted to know as far as just how bad obesity has gotten in the United States now. A report that was just released found that a huge amount of American youth do not qualify for military service because they're basically too fat to fight. As reported by the Washington Examiner, the report notes that our obesity epidemic has reached new highs, costing Americans dearly in health and in dollars. The report notes that while obesity rates and the growth of obesity have finally started to level off, the costs are continually going up. The nation spends on average about $150 billion a year in direct cost because of obesity, while the economy loses billions more per year in diminished worker productivity. It also is costly to the military, said the report. Nearly one quarter of military recruits now are rejected because they are obese. That would be the only reason, 25% now, because it also costs the Pentagon another $1 billion a year in added health care costs for obese troops and their families. The report also contains the stunning statistic that 70% of the current youth are not fit to serve in the military due to obesity or criminal record, drug misuse, or educational deficiency, which is pretty sad. 70% of our youth now can't go in the military. And we've talked about this repeatedly. These kids that have been on these Schedule II Adderalls, these amphetamines, you know, Ritalin, the ADD medication. A lot of times the military, unless it's some rare circumstances, if you've been on Adderall or an amphetamine salt like that for an extended period of time, they do not want you in the military. If you test positive for any type of illicit drug, they don't want you in the military. If you're too obese, they don't want you in the military. If you can't pass your ASVAB, which is basically your military entrance exam to get into the military to show that you're not a complete and total, you know, idiot, you can actually read and write, they won't take you in the military if you can't make a decent grade on that. And so 70% now of our youth are failing some portion of what I just mentioned, which is really, really sad to me. And also, too, they're saying now in the report, the rates of obesity are about 30% higher for adults with incomes below $15,000 compared to other adult demographics. And essentially, since a huge amount of the demographics that are in that, as far as cash flow range, are on some form of taxpayer-supported government assistance, this clearly says, what I've said numerous times, the federal welfare and food supplement program are incredibly, massively emphasizing or enabling bad eating habits instead of good ones. This is because it is the narrative of the globalists to continue to give them free food to cause the nation's health to rapidly decline. hence the reason why the number one purchase product with EBTs is soda. The number one purchase product. I've talked about it so many times. And so I've never agreed with basically open food access with EBTs. And I've had people argue with me about this, that, oh, you should be able to buy whatever you want. You should have the government coming in and telling you what you can and can't eat. It's not constitutional for them to regulate. And I'm going, whoa. First off, EBT, food benefits, welfare, it's not written in the Constitution. You are not automatically entitled to free things just because you breathe air. For some reason, that's a concept that a lot of people don't understand. They think, well, I need EBT, I need welfare, I need this, so I should be entitled to anything that I want to eat. There should be substantial restrictions on the food that you're able to purchase. I've always agreed with that. And soda should not be something on that list. There is no reason to be drinking food items, eating food items, or drinking liquid substances that increasingly raise the healthcare costs of the United States and cause issues with diabetes, tooth decay, cavities, digestive problems, obesity, all the above. When you start adding all the health issues that are directly related to the unbelievably toxic food that people purchase, primarily things like soda with EBTs, it really needs to be stopped for a second. We all need to take a look at what's going on here collectively and say, is this really something we need to continue, especially when 70% of our youth now are either basically too fat, too drunk, out or too stupid to even enter the military? That's really sad to me, Dad.
It's the immunizations yesterday, and it's the diet. It's the high fructose corn syrup. Yesterday, yeah. We were calling up to get some sandbags, and we were calling local fire departments up to find out who had sandbags in stock, and because you know the FEMA's giving them away for free if you can find them in inventory somewhere. And what was interesting about this is I couldn't get straight answers from like two-thirds of the people I talked to. They simply could not articulate the answer. Like I would say, I call the number you gave me, no one answered the telephone, is there someone there? And they couldn't answer the question. Finally, I'm to the point where I say to people, the other day I walked into Whole Foods, and I walked into Whole Foods with a guy at the front register, and I asked them, I said, do you have any organic biscuits in a can that can be baked that don't contain canola oil? So if you guys find some for me, let me know. And the guy looked at me, and I asked him four times the same question. He didn't even answer me. He just looked at me. And finally I said to him, I said, look, this is not a trick question. I need to know where your canned biscuits are. And he gives me the name of it. He says, three aisles down on the left. And of course he was totally wrong. There were nowhere he said he was. I had to ask him four times before he even could respond. And I wasn't speaking quickly. I was speaking very slowly and I was articulating. This is what we've done to the kids. This is the result of 76 immunizations. This is the result of pumping aluminum and mercury into the brains and fluoride into their digestive tract for 20, 25 years. This is what we get. We get a dumbed down set of children who 70% of them cannot pass or get into the military now with the testing, fitness, or scores or anything because their brains are done. We have raised an entire generation of kids right now that no longer have the ability to think. They asked Einstein back in the 30s, they said, what's the problem with men today? He said, the problem with men today is they simply don't think. I don't even have any idea what Einstein would say right now if he actually saw the general population and how they can't read, they can't think, they can't write because we poisoned them with the immunizations. I had another man contact me yesterday and say, I don't know what to do, basically. My daughter has received the Gardasil shot. Is there anything that you can do to prevent it from doing ovarian failure? And see, the thing about it is, guys, why do you want to put yourself in that situation? Years ago, I spoke to a friend of mine who had a 14-year-old son who was heavy in the pot. I mean, this guy was a pothead, stayed stoned all of the time. And I told him about a place out in Montana, which was a private cattle ranch, that you could send children that was a Christian-based place that would allow the kids to come out there, learn who Jesus Christ was, get them cleaned up. They don't accept any violent kids out there, but they take the kids who've been on drugs or bad attitudes, that kind of stuff. And I said, please, I said, don't allow me to be sitting here 3 or 4 years talking to you in 3 or 4 years from now, and your son's still on drugs because they won't take any children out there past the age of 16 and a half, and they won't allow him to come out there. He needs to go out there now if you want him to get help. And so now I find out the kid's completely stoned out of his mind again, on drugs again, parents are beside themselves. They don't know what to do. And I said to him, I said, do you remember 3 years ago when I said to you, sitting right over there when he was 14, about getting it done now and not being one of those people that would say, I wish I would have, instead of, I'm so glad that I did. And he looked at me and he goes, Ted, you're absolutely right. I guess that's where we are right now, isn't it? He's 17 and a half, almost 18, and he's still a doper. And I'm like, yeah, he's still a doper. I said, one of the things you didn't do and you should have done is you should have taken him out of the high school that he was in with all of his doper friends. And see, guys, that's something very, very important for all of you guys to realize. If you've got a child in a situation where he's hanging out with bad kids at school and a bunch of dopers or a bunch of druggies or whatever, you've got to learn it's time to get him out of that environment. The Bible is very clear about that. It says that bad company corrupts good character. And if you've got a decent kid, they start hanging out with bad kids. I've seen it over and over and over. Those kids turn rough. They turn bad. They turn redneck. They turn druggies. They turn alcoholics. I've seen it over and over. So, guys, do yourself a favor and keep the kids that you have at home that are good kids. If you're keeping them in homeschool, don't put them in a public school environment. I had another friend of mine. He homeschooled his daughter all the way. No, I'm sorry. He had her in private Christian school all the way through eighth grade. Ninth grade, he put her in the public high school. The girl went completely sideways. Dope, drugs, sexually promiscuous, alcoholic, ended up at Alcoholics Anonymous when she's in her 20s or teenage years. I mean, completely ruined her life at this point still. Now she's in her 30s, still isn't married. She's basically a recovering alcoholic on psychiatric drugs. I've seen it over and over and over again. If you protect the kids, protect the kids. When they turn 18, 19, 20 years old, if they decide to run out and be a bunch of little brats or whatever they want to do, that's past your point of trying to do anything for them. You can do what needs to be done to try to help them, but don't enable them and continue to give them money to allow them to have that type of lifestyle. I've seen that over and over again. The parents keep giving money, including with my own brother-in-law, who's dead now from a heroin overdose, who was fully supported financially by his father for 25 years when he became a full-blown doper and kept getting drugs and drugs and drugs and drugs and lying continuously. Guys, there's always an enabler in those situations, and don't be that enabler. Teach the kids the right way. Now, one more story I want to jump on real quick, because we've talked so many times about cultural differences with people coming into the United States from other faiths and other religions that aren't Christian, that don't have a Protestant work ethic. And here's, this is from the Independent. It's made all the wires all over the place. It was a guy from India. He was from India. He had his wife. And his wife was being disobedient. And he decided he would start beating her. So he started beating her and bruising her, held a knife to her throat. And then he had his parents fly from India to help beat his disobedient wife. I don't know if he was Muslim or Hindu. I don't know. I can't figure that out. His name was Kalsi, K-A-L-S-I, and his parents, Jasper and Bobina Kalsi, had been abusing this woman for a long period of time. Finally, they came in, found her all bruised and beaten, and they arrested all three of them for beating this woman. Guys, when you're in another country and you're not based in Christianity and you think it's okay to take people and beat them because they're not listening to you, I got a news flash for you. You're psychotic, okay? And that's how you were raised, as a psycho. And we don't need these multicultures coming into our country, unvetted, Austin, in huge amounts, because our culture simply cannot handle the cultural war it creates and the negative cultural impact that it causes that permeates throughout the entire societal structure. Very, very important you guys understand that. That's one of the reasons that I say, look, if a person's a Muslim or they're Hindu or they're a Buddhist or whatever they are, you know, if they're willing to come into our society and live by our structures and our laws and our Christian values that we were founded on in the United States, I welcome them with open arms. But if they're going to come here and they want to be a nightmare and do things like this, I wish they had never showed up in this country. Austin, what do you think?
Well, it's exactly what you just said a few minutes ago. Bad company corrupts good character. And when you have a ideology, when you have a religion that's usually based in forceful dictatorship, as far as if you don't do this, I force you to do it or I kill you, which is essentially the base ideology of the Muslim and Sharia law, which is pretty scary, to be honest with you, that they actually come here and that they've massively come into Europe and taken over. It ends up to a point where one religion, one ideology, one group of individuals is eventually going to submit to the other. Every time in history it happens, because you eventually go to war, or you have a civil war, or you have some type of significant confrontation, and at some point in time, somebody's going to submit. And the problem is, when you have a religion that their whole basis is essentially war on all infidels, and you have a Christian belief, or even just a basic belief of, you know, well, we like to live in peace, we like to live in harmony, we don't want to do this, the very, very violent culture essentially almost always overtakes the other culture. Perfect example now, police in Leipzig in Germany have told women now, do not run alone. Can't go run alone now. We do not recommend you go jog by yourself at any time of the day. After a jogger was just raped by another migrant in one of the city parks, a woman was 50 years old, was attacked and dragged to the ground as she was running in Rosenthal Park on Friday morning at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. The people run around. It's Friday. The culprit was described, this is what they're calling them now, as a Southerner, which is now the politically correct term in Germany, meaning Muslim or Arab. They can't call them Muslims. They can't call them Middle Easterns. They can't call them sadistic, radical Islam Muslims. They have to call them Southerners now. The authorities responded by the incident stating, not that they're sorry for this woman, not that we need to be more vigilant, not that women should actually have the right to protect themselves with deadly force by carrying a firearm like God gives us, everybody's right. They say, it would be better, guys, if women... jogged in pairs, and they made sure that someone else was around. When they run past someone, make sure you always look back to make sure you're not about to be attacked. Wait, this is what they're telling the female population of Germany now. Don't go run by yourselves. Make sure you run in pairs. And when you run past anybody, make sure you constantly look over your shoulder every time you pass somebody to make sure you're not going to be violently attacked and raped, because this is what the society is degraded to now. The mayor of Leipzig says that more cops would help. And the notion is funny, but that's the only thing he brought up. Not self-defense. The problem is, cops don't run with you everywhere. You can't fit a cop in your pocket. They don't stay with you while you go on a jogging trail. You may put more military police out. It's not going to stop this. And what's funny, it's not funny, ha-ha, it's funny, ironic. And this whole thing that he talked about, the notion of scaling back on the immigration policy and inviting people from a culture which is basically, they do things called the rape game over there and all types of weird things in the Middle East, was never part of the discussion. The advice that women should not go out in public alone is, of course, as I said a second ago, is a form of submission to Islamic culture modesty codes that dictate women should be chaperoned every time they leave the house. They should not be alone. Because remember, the whole Sharia law basis is, if there's a woman outside by herself, if she's jogging by herself, if she's trying to travel freely unmolested on her way to go somewhere, she basically, considering Sharia law, she is a whore and you can do anything you want her. That's their basis. That's what they believe. That's what they have in Europe now, all over the place. Remember the New Year's Eve mass molestation in Cologne 2 years ago. Days after the outrage, the mayor of Cologne said that women need to follow a code of conduct now in Germany. You guys really need to code of conduct is necessary to avoid sexual assaults by the Muslim migrants, and you need to keep these guys at arm length, and you need to make sure you dress appropriately that you don't offend them or invite them to rape you. That is called submission. When you have to completely change your entire culture to appease another culture so they do not violently attack you, beat you, and rape you, that is a form of submission, and that is what Germany has now done, and that is what the large part of Europe is trying to do, and that is what they want to bring to the United States, hence why we're trying to stop all these guys from coming in here, and why Trump blatantly said, we're putting a halt on this mass immigration from the Middle East for at least the next 90 to 120 days until we can figure out what these individuals want to do, what their goals are in coming to this country, because obviously we see a huge percent, not all of them, but a huge percentage of them only have ill will for America and anybody else that is not under Sharia law, Dev.
Absolutely. And I've talked about this before, but I'm going to cover it again real quick for the new listeners. There's a portion in a man's brain called the nucleus accumbens, and what that portion of that brain does when it sees a provocatively dressed woman. Now remember, with Sharia law, they're provocatively dressed, but their head's not covered, and they're not wearing a burqa. They're not covered up. I mean, so if they're jogging in a pair of shorts or in a warm-up suit or whatever, they're provocatively dressed. I remember years ago, your mom was walking through Dresden with me, and she'd gotten separated from me, and she was wearing a warm-up suit, a pink warm-up suit, and a bunch of these Muslims started doing catcalls at her. And I walked over to them, and I looked at them, and there were like three of them, and I said, "Sorry, boys, I didn't hear you. You got something you want to say to me?" And they're like, rah, 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 they all took off. And I thought to myself, because then these guys were in their 20s, so these were men. They weren't like children. See, this is that culture. If you're not dressed in a burqa with your head covered, because here they saw this good-looking blonde walking around basically in a warm-up suit, which she was being innocent because the color was pink because she wanted to be able to see her in a crowd and make sure she didn't get lost. There's so many people running around because you have these big cities, you get the groups of people, you can't find each other. And what was interesting about this is I basically had to come and defend her from these nutbags. I wish you'd have been with me there, Austin. I'm sure we could have talked to them more. A little bit more direct way. And what was interesting about this is that when a man's brain gets basically stimulated by something he thinks is sexual in nature, it's like a contraction of this nucleus accumbens in his brain. Now, what that does is the equivalent of a person, and they haven't eaten any food in 30 days. They haven't eaten any food in 30 days. They're starving. And you bring them into a room with a table that's completely covered in all of these excellent foods that they love. And they see it. It affects the brain the same way. It's all of a sudden they see something they've got to have, they've got to have it. And that's why these guys get wrapped up and they see this and they can't stop themselves because this is how they were trained in their Sharia law, that this person's a whore anyhow. I got to go rape this person because my nucleus accumbens has kicked in and I can't control myself, for heaven's sakes. It's the cultural thing again, guys. We're taught in the United States that ain't cool. That's not okay. Okay, these guys are taught that it's okay and it's recommended if that's how you have to do this. This is why they say, oh, the poor Muslim hadn't had sex in a while, so it's okay. What the heck? Who says crap like that? You see, that's the problem they're running into Germany now, and in Sweden, and in France, and in Finland. All of these countries now that have allowed these migrants to come in, when they trigger their nucleus accumbens, because they're wearing a pair of jogging pants or jogging shorts, or they're basically wearing a halter top, you can't do that, guys. There's too many cultural differences. Oh, by the way, here's an interesting update from the Kushner, Jared Kushner, Democrat Communist swamp. One of the many oddities, this is by Josh Marshall, perhaps fascinating side stories to Trump, is how the rise of his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, was almost designed in the lab for the most epic kinds of corruption. It has become a commonplace over the last year that Donald Trump's second act as TV star and brand licensor since the early part of the century was heavily financed. Now, what he goes into saying here is this. In 2007, under Kushner's leadership, the family's company vastly overpaid for a flagship real estate company property at perhaps the appropriate number. Here we go. Get ready, guys. He owns the building at 666. Fifth Avenue. It's a 41-story tower, and its design apparently makes it one of the few potential tenants want to rent in. And he bought this thing for hundreds of millions of dollars. They're upside down in it. They're unbelievably unstable from a cash flow standpoint. And suddenly he has said that he wants to go ahead and tear this building down and rebuild the entire building. Forget the hundreds of millions of dollars that he paid for it. And he expects somebody to come in now and give him money with absolutely no idea, if the money will ever be paid back. Where is this guy getting his financing from? Who has the kind of money to tear down a 41-story building, build a new high-rise in its place, and rely on rent money, etc., to try to pay more hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars? Who's financing this guy? Oh, that would be George Soros. Oh, that's right, in Cadre Development. That's exactly who's financing George Soros. The Kushner is George Soros. And, oh, that's right. Guess who's financing George Soros? Oh, that would be the Rothschilds, again, with their unlimited money supply because they own the Federal Reserve banks all over the world, including the one in the United States since 1913. This is so steeped in corruption with this guy in the White House, Austin. It blows my mind. And this show, our show, was the first show to call this lowlife out back in February of this year, not even a month after Trump took oath of office. So, guys, this thing with Kushner is not getting better. It has 666. Who buys an address like that? Who even wants that address? I would have it changed. 666 Fifth Avenue. Total nonsense, son. What do you think?
It really is. That's what we talked about at the beginning of the year, man. The everything around Cursor has been very, very odd to me. I mean, I've talked about it repeatedly, just from the fact of how much unbridled power he has received. And he is not even an elected official. I mean, he basically came in on the coattails of Donald Trump, so we thought, and now it seems to be that he was prepped for this position. They knew what he was going to do, and it's almost like the globalist had this set up already as kind of a fallback, as if Trump got elected, which in my opinion he was not supposed to get elected, the globalists did not want him in there, but if he did, they wanted to have a fallback solution of somebody in there that they could keep on the inside that would really promote their agenda still and kind of have his ear on a regular basis to feed him a lot of the globalist rhetoric that they wanted him to hear. Remember, even I talked about yesterday, this whole thing with the DACA program, that essentially today, they've come out now and they said that they're rescinding it. As I told you guys yesterday, I said it looks like they were going to do it. The deferred action for childhood arrivals in the United States, it's being phased out now over the next 6 months, completely phased out. But of course, Kirchner said he absolutely did not agree with Trump doing that he wanted to keep that in there. And of course he did, right. And so, I mean, the whole thing about this now is they've already told DHS to begin a orderly, lawful wind down, including the cancellation of the memo that authorized this program back from Trump back in the day. And then also, too, Obama, they went on and said that it's funny because the mainstream media now has gone out and has basically said that they're just slamming Trump. They're bringing a couple individuals that have been in this program now for a couple of years that have actually graduated from college, have done something successful, and there have been some. And they're trying to bring them out on television and say, this is what Trump wants to ban, this is what he wants to do. And the issue that nobody's wanting to address are the literally thousands and thousands and thousands of DACA recipients who have lost their status because of criminal activity. They have not addressed that one time. So I pulled up earlier today, they said the Dreamers have also allegedly been behind multiple incidences of gruesome crime in the recent years, all the way from alien smuggling, domestic violence, drug offense, DUI, larceny, criminal trespass, burglary, sexual offense with a minor, rape, and it goes on and on and on. And so what they went on to say here is just an example. Salvador Diaz Garcia was in the DACA program, accepted, and then raped a 19-year-old woman in a Seattle apartment in a complex gym and left her with missing teeth. He later on was deported. The case of Oliver Funes Macho, 18, was in the DACA program, who was charged in March this year with beheading his own mother. He was living in DACA status in North Carolina at the time and was from Honduras. Another case in North Carolina, Emmanuel Jesus, received DACA status, then was placed in deportation proceedings following multiple drug charges. Then they admitted, the USCIS admitted they gave him DACA status even though they knew about his gang membership. He later on, before he was deported, he was later then charged with 4 counts of first-degree murder on top of that. That was just a couple of them here that on top of the list. I don't want to go through all of them today because we don't have enough time for all this, but you get the picture. Not saying all the individuals that are coming here that are in this program are bad. I'm not saying that at all. There's been some very, very awesome individuals that have come in on this program, but we have to take a look back and see why in the world are we continuing to spend all this money and incentivizing people to come here illegally when we aren't even taking care of our own people that already live here. Dad and I have talked about it numerous times. Why are we not addressing the $1.3 trillion in student loans that nobody wants to talk about? It's the big, giant elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. Why aren't we looking at ways to help defer some of those payments, figure out how to get some of the costs down, how to freeze the interest rates on the kids that have defaulted on them so these bills are not doubling and tripling every 4 and 5 years with the interest rates and the fees and the fines that they're getting on them? Why are we not talking about this? Why are we so concerned about inviting people to come here illegally so we can give them free housing, free food, and free scholarships for absolutely no legitimate purpose whatever, instead of addressing the kids and adults that are here that have gone to college, that have gotten a ton of trouble with student debt and need a way to work out of it, instead of allowing this problem to grow exponentially now. I mean, it gets bigger. Like every month, it's getting bigger, bigger, bigger. Now it's over $1.3 trillion. Why aren't we addressing that, Dad? And that's what I want to bring up to a lot of people, because I've seen a lot of people online that are just, oh, I can't believe Trump's, you know, killing the Dreamers Act. I can't believe he's getting rid of this thing. Guys, first off, it was never constitutional to begin with. Understand that. Literally, Obama wrote this out of thin air and said, I'm going to do this now. Straight amnesty. Okay, we're just going to give these kids free everything as soon as they come here. Doesn't matter what their status is. You can't do that. There's no constitutional grounds to do that. So repealing this in the first place should have already been done months ago, and I'm glad it's finally getting done. Now, if Congress wants to go through the proper channels over the next 6 months and they really believe this is something that truly needs to be in law, they can do so, but I highly, highly doubt they're going to get anything done with this because there are no legitimate or constitutional grounds to have this bill in place, especially at taxpayer cost and especially of what we have seen with the amount of criminals that have come in under the guise of this act and have been had to be deported at to what expense of the taxpayer dollars and to expense of our health and livelihood and safety because a lot of the criminal activity some of these guys have been involved in, Deb.
They should rename it, even though there may be a few of these guys who are actual dreamers and did something with their life. The vast majority of them should be called the Nightmare Act, not the Dreamers Act. I mean, these guys have just come in and just done horrible things to the country. Two more stories I want to cover real quick, and I'll let Dawson finish out the show. Putin is warning us now that North Korea basically is turning into a powder keg and that we have to realize that North Korea does not have the stuff that they say they have, and he's trying to warn everybody to calm down and quit pushing this North Korea rhetoric before the entire planet goes into a world war. I don't know why we can't have people who actually talk reasonable in our country like Putin does, and that we want to push, push, push. Putin says that Korea doesn't even have nuclear weapons. They're just detonating huge amounts of TNT underground, making everybody think they've got nuclear weapons because they want to pretend like they've got nuclear weapons so that we can't, so we'll be afraid to attack them because we've gone in and taken out so many other regimes. Guys, whether that's true or not, I have no idea. But here's the point. Just leave the little fat boy alone. Just be done with him. Just leave him alone. He weighs like 300 pounds. He was educated in Switzerland, in case you guys don't know that. He's not a dummy. The problem is he just likes his wine and his fancy food and all the things that he's done. And so he now has taken over this country about 4 or 5 years ago now. And it's just absolutely rattling chains over there. We also ignore the little boy. He'll go away. One more thing. NASA now has decided that they're trying to get approval to drill into the Yellowstone volcanic cauldron to release pressure from the magma chamber underneath Yellowstone to allow it to cool off and discharge so it doesn't blow and cause a massive earthquake, massive volcanic eruption, which could put us into a global winter for decades, if not 100 years, if this thing blew, because it's one of the largest volcanoes ever and it's the biggest one in the world. Here's the problem with all that. NASA, whenever they get involved in doing stuff, always have ulterior motives. Always remember that. So they don't want to drill directly down into the cauldron and let it vent itself because they don't want to do that. They want to drill into the side of the cauldron. I mean, I'm talking deep, miles and miles and miles underground, drill into the side of this giant magma in this pool, and then they want to basically inject water into this magma pool that's got liquid rock in it. Now, guys, here's the problem with these guys and why they don't seem to like to think through things. What happens when you put water together with hot magma? You create huge amounts of steam. Have they not remembered we used to have things called steam engines, and they used to blow up when the steam got too high? Well, how much water do they want to put in? There are hundreds of millions of gallons of water in the West now that already is suffering from severe drought because of the hydrological cycle on the planet because of chemtrails. All of this is nonsense. They need to leave this mess alone. Let me explain to you what I mean by the hydrological cycles. If the Earth can carry, let's give a number, you know, X amount of trillions of liters of water at one time in the atmosphere, we'll make that X. So we'll make that 100 instead of whatever number. If it can carry 100 units of water in the atmosphere at any given time, when you pull water out of the atmosphere, out of the northern, western states, and in California to suck it down into Texas, it's the same thing. You cause massive droughts everywhere when you're causing these massive downpours and gully washers in Texas. Folks don't understand that. When you change and mess with the hydrological cycles of the planet, you start causing massive weather changes, which is a major problem, which we see now with these hurricanes that are incredibly powerful, which are being engineered to be so. Guys, thank you for listening. The show was, I thought, really fast-paced today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for getting your multiple vitamins from us and getting your supplements from us. Man, in the last couple of weeks, I spoke to so many wonderful people on the telephones. They're just awesome people. Thank you again for giving me the opportunity to speak to you. Thank you for supporting us and listening to the show every day from all over the world, from all over the world. So, guys, I want you to know something from the bottom of my heart. I love you guys, and I appreciate you guys, and thank you. Also, right now, please pray for Florida. Please pray for this storm. Pray that it stays out of the oceans. Pray that it goes away. Pray whatever you want to pray. We'll pray together here in a couple of days. We'll see where this thing's going to be going. Guys, thank you. Austin, I'll do the write-up. Go ahead and do the show, finish it, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Absolutely, bud. Yes, and again, as I told everybody before, you know, continue to pray. Keep everything in your prayers all the way back from Texas, too, as they're recovering right now. I've seen a lot of photos of buddies out there, and they still have a lot of flooding. And also, too, if you live in the panhandle, if you live in Florida, understand what's going on right now. If this thing starts to escalate, don't wait till the last second to prep or do anything. That's why I'm a very, very big proponent of always being prepared 24/7, not waiting till the last minute. So always be sure and do your regular tap-offs. Like I said, fuel or any other things you need to get at the last second, go ahead and grab them soon. And, guys, if you need anything, again, we appreciate the support. Give us a call, 1-800-726-1834, healthmasters.com. We thank you so much for your phone calls and your emails and all the support you guys give us by buying your multiple vitamins and your other supplements through us. It makes a huge difference as far as in us being able to keep this radio show going and to keep you guys as informed as possible at any given time. And also, too, be sure to check out the product of the week, the Magnesium Brain Food. Really great product. It's going to be on sale till tonight or tomorrow morning for our product of the week. Very, very good for the brain. Healthy synapse function, healthy cognitive function, stress management, memory. Awesome product. If you haven't tried it yet, it's definitely a time to try it out. And also be sure to vote on any of the other products that you're interested in as they are going to be winning tomorrow morning. So be sure to vote on that as well. And again, check us out, healthmasters.com. We appreciate all your support. Call us up if you need anything, 1-800-726-1834. We'll be down here in Florida holding it strong, as we always do. We'll be doing the show all the way into next week unless, like I said, we have an issue with power, and then we'll try and get the generators up to possibly do the show if we need to, if it escalates that far. Not really sure, but again, that's what we do. That's what we're here for. We try to be here for you guys as much as possible. So you guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.